As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The Fan is better when you're part of it. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
This was supposed to be a night where we would come on and react to Max Scherzer one way or another in what I was looking at as a season-defining start. It has been stop and go for Scherzer. He has obviously been off. And by the way, we'll get to the Yankees in a little bit. A ho-hum 10-5 win over the pathetic Athletics, or the Pathetics, as a matter of fact, out of Yankee Stadium. Good to see Judge back in there. Yankees showing some signs of life. We told you their series against the Rays, to me, was more encouraging than anything else, even though they lost 2 out of 3. Yankees will be just fine. Maybe we should have trusted Brian Cashman. They'll be just fine. Anyway, they'll be the bigger story once the Rays come to town. On Thursday, we expect them to get the sweep tomorrow. But we'll talk about them in a little bit. The story is the Mets. So we were anticipating a Max Scherzer start, which to me would have defined where he's going this year, right? Because he's been, the suspension, so he was out a little bit. Even before that, he was shaky to start. He comes back from the suspension. He got absolutely rocked. The actual suspension itself, dealing with the sticky stuff off of last year. So there was all this stuff that's been going on with Scherzer that dates back to last year. Getting tattooed by the Braves in really what was, and the big picture will be tied in here in a second, really what was the only time the Mets faced adversity last year was last September, and in particular in Atlanta, because even those series leading up to it really didn't mean anything. It was, if you go win 2 out of 3 in Atlanta, you are going to win the NL East. And obviously we know how that turned out, and Max Scherzer failing was a big part of that. Then, of course, the wild card game. Okay, restart number 2. Forget Atlanta, forget the division. Here you are in the postseason. It's lined up the way the Mets want it to. Scherzer, the big boy, going game 1. and he got tattooed, boot off the mat. So now you have that taste in your mouth from last year where, what the hell just happened? The Mets $43 million guy got lit up in the two biggest games. That just can't happen. And then all offseason, what did we hear? Well, he was hurt. He wasn't 100% healthy. Okay, actually makes me feel better because there better be some kind of reason for it. Did he just fall off a cliff all of a sudden? All right, you telling me he was hurt? Understood. Fine. It sucks. It is what it is. The Mets went down to Atlanta and San Diego. But if he's hurt, you know what? Now you get him healthy to start the year. And again, this year, Max Scherzer is not looking like vintage Max Scherzer at all when he's out there. Then you deal with the suspension stuff, you know, whether it's him getting pushed back, whatever it may be, him getting hit, you know, beat up a little bit, whatever. Then the suspension stuff where, you know, he didn't use an illegal substance, but he did mix stuff, which was illegal. And then you could start to say that, you know, he might have been doing something. Well, I mean, he was doing something he should have been doing, but he might have knowingly been doing something he shouldn't have been doing to maybe get an edge because he feels like he lost it a little bit. I don't know that. I'm just, look, we're looking for reasons here. Point is, he was suspended. Then he comes back off of suspension, and we're thinking, all right, all that nonsense behind him. It's Scherzer. It's Verlander. Here we go. Forget about the Mets and what they did before this. Now it's time to really put this team together the way that it was meant to be put together before the year. Scherzer, Verlander, 1-2. Against the crappy Tigers, no less. What happens? The Mets get swept in Detroit. Scherzer gets tattooed. They lose all three of those games. Which fast forwards us to today, this afternoon. We heard yesterday, but we ignored yesterday the talk about Max Scherzer and still feeling lingering effects of soreness in the scapula, back, shoulder blade, whatever the hell it is. I don't care. Not a doctor. Don't care to be one. Obviously, there's some kind of issue that he was feeling, right? He told Mike Puma of the Post. Okay, great. We ignore that because all the stuff that we're hearing is that, oh, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, he says he's going to go out there. Max himself said, last start, the most important thing was that he felt healthy. He's trying to deal with this thing. He knows how to get through it. No big deal. And then today happens, where you find out mid-afternoon, Max Scherzer will, in fact, not be starting tonight. Now, it's not a huge deal, but it is a deal. And they can downplay it. And when I say they, I mean Max, I mean the Mets, whoever else wants to downplay. Oh, no problem. He'll pitch in a couple of days or so. Here's the thing. If it weren't a problem, he would have pitched tonight. Got it? If it weren't a problem, he would have been on the mound tonight. This is not normal. This doesn't happen to everybody. It continues to happen to the Mets, and it continues to happen to Max Scherzer in particular. If there were no issue, if it weren't a big deal, he would have taken the ball in Cincinnati tonight as scheduled. He didn't. So it's a problem. And then what happens? So whether they say, oh, he might pitch Thursday, he might pitch Friday, it may be a two-day thing, not a big deal, just stiffness in the neck, it has nothing to do with the arm or the shoulder. Right, I got you. So yesterday was no issue, no story. Today was just a different issue. Yeah, you know, he slept wrong on his neck, so he can't make the start. You know, it happens. It happens to everybody, right? I mean, when was the last time it happened to Gerrit Cole exactly? I'm not sure. A stiff neck, that's a new one. I don't even think DeGrom missed a game with that. A stiff neck, come on. I woke up, my neck is, I can't, I mean, come on. Anyway, so Max, while it's no big deal, again, in the, you know, the litany of things for him this year that haven't been a big deal. And by the way, I love Max Scherzer more than anybody. So this is not me ripping Max Scherzer. It was the right move to sign him. I stand by that. I love his attitude. I love everything he brought to this team. However, this is now getting to a point where it's unacceptable. Getting beat up by Atlanta, San Diego, and now everything this year. The litany of no big deals this year. By the way, throw Verlander on top of it. Because he wasn't a big deal either, right? Oh, no big deal. On opening day, I mean, how many more signs do Mets fans need before you realize this year, this ain't it? Whether it's Edwin Diaz and the WBC, that worthless baseball classic going down for the year from celebrating a win, no less. Whether it is on opening day as you try to get excited, you're just getting over the idea of Diaz being out for the season in that worthless baseball classic. And what happens? You find out that Justin Verlander is going on the IL on opening day. No big deal. A month goes by before he pitches his first game. No big deal. Anyway, so this is no big deal for Max Scherzer yet again. The only time we've seen Scherzer and Verlander in the same rotation was in Detroit. One time, Scherzer got lit up, and the Mets ended up losing both games anyway. I mean, one time! $86 million. 86. Why does that number ring a bell? Anyway, $86 million between the two. One time we've seen them back-to-back in the rotation, and they lost both games. No big deal. And then that turns into David Peterson, a guy who will not be in the major leagues much longer. Although I guess with expansion possible, you know, or maybe even likely, maybe it is possible David Peterson sticks somewhere, but the guy shouldn't be in the big leagues. And he's pitching on the team with the highest payroll in Major League Baseball. Peterson is also a guy who has had my support over the years because I thought he had a toughness that Steven Matz didn't, comparing a lefty to a lefty coming up through the system. I thought he showed a toughness back in 2020 that Matz didn't, for example. And a guy that can compete. He was handed a golden opportunity to start this year. He did nothing with it. He was handed another opportunity tonight. He did nothing with it. As Buck Showalter said after the game, short on stuff, short on command, that's a rough combo. I'm paraphrasing, but I think that was close to the accurate quote. That's a great quote. I mean, that's a great quote. If you were in a bad mood from watching this lousy team, at least that made you laugh. I mean, it made me laugh. That's a tough combo. Short on stuff and command. Oops. But it goes back to Max Scherzer, because this team was not built on David Peterson. This team was not built, I mean, I don't know which team is, to have the bullpen pitch 8 innings a game. I mean, every night they're going to the bullpen for 5 innings, minimum. Minimum. Not to mention their third starter, the guy who's been their best starter, he's great, but you can't pitch him every fifth day. He needs 8 days rest. Oh, man. Well, how much did they spend on this payroll? Whatever it is, I guess it doesn't go the way, you know, as far as it used to. This monologue, a good one, I must say at that, will be interrupted briefly to get you updated on all things New York sports and, I guess, out-of-town stuff as well. But we will continue it on the other side, plus your calls as well. I mean, you know, we sign on at 10:51. I probably could do 30 minutes without taking a breath and just tear the Mets apart because that's how bad it has been this year. Scherzer, culprit number one. We'll get to the other culprits from the actual game itself on the other side.
Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Part two. Here we go. Although the music's putting me in a better mood. I mean, I don't know. I want that. Fade that music out. I love that song. P. Diddy and the Fam. Love it. But I want to get back to ripping the Mets here, if I may. Okay, so part two, to be continued. Here we go. We gave you the Scherzer stuff. We mentioned David Peterson. Obviously, the lineup has some issues as well. And on a night where they actually showed some fight, showed some life, they come back after being down 7-1 and make it a 7-6 ball game. But here's part of the problem, okay? Part of the problem is that, and this is where it falls to me on the analytical people, and the front office, and I have not been critical of Billy Epler. I mean, how could you? He put together one of the winningest seasons in franchise history with a 101-win season a year ago. And when people call up and say, oh, he did nothing, you should be fired. No, he actually did something that others, many, many, many others before him never did, putting together that kind of season. But this is where I have an issue with the construction of this lineup. A, it's not good enough. B, they look at the data and analytics for a guy like Vogelbach, for a guy like Canna, and they believe that that works. That type of offense, pass the baton, blah, 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 walk is as good as a hit, bull crap, which it is not. And anybody who's ever said in their life a walk is as good as a hit doesn't know what they're talking about. You don't want a walk is as good as a hit when the kid can't hit. The only time I've heard that is in Little League. Oh my God, the 12th hitter's up here. We need a guy to get on. Let's get it to the top of the order. Hey, Johnny! Johnny, you can do it, buddy. A walk is as good as a hit. Hang in there, Johnny boy. Johnny, don't swing the bat if it's not close. Take your pitch, Johnny. Walk is as good as a hit. That's the only time that it works. And it reminds me a little bit of Little League when I watch the Mets because I don't ever recall a player being so afraid to actually swing the bat, other than the Little League days, as I watch with Daniel Vogelbach. See, this is not to pick on Vogelbach because he's not the problem, he's not the reason why the Mets lost. But it is part of the problem when you have a guy like that in Vogelbach that is up in a spot with guys on. He should be looking to drive the baseball, hit with power, do damage. And instead, he's looking to walk. And what does he do? He walks. Of course he does, because he doesn't want to swing the bat. So he walks, passes the baton. Great, right? Wrong. Because who's behind him is the eight hitter. Now, I like Mark Canha, but he's off to an awful start. He's accountable after the game, saying that was a terrible at-bat. I mean, of course it was a terrible at-bat. I didn't need to hear him say it, although I appreciate it. We didn't need to hear him say it to realize how awful an at-bat it was. But that's why you don't walk in that spot. A walk is not as good as a hit. Guys are already on. Now it's time to drive them in. When you want to walk as if you're down two or three runs, get on base, get the tying run to the plate. You're down, you have two guys on, you need to drive them in. Drive the ball. A walk doesn't do that. A walk hands it off to the next guy. It shows me that Vogelbach didn't want to do the damage there. He passed off the hard job to the 8-9 hitters. And guess what? They didn't get it done. Vogelbach did that twice. I'm not saying you got to go nuts and swing at pitches out of the strike zone, but come on now. All this guy does is walk. And all he does is then bring up the guy. Hey, you know what? Get it over with. Make Vogelbach bat leadoff. If you're going to walk like that, you're not going to swing the bat. Just have him leadoff. Get Nimmo out of there. Nimmo at least will drive runs in. Nimmo likes to swing. Nimmo's a nice combination of what you want. A guy who's going to have plate discipline, but also will swing at the ball and hit it hard somewhere. He's actually, get this, a good hitter. A good hitter. Not a guy that we sit there and say, oh, all he does is walk. Woo, he's an on-base machine. All he does is walk. I'll leave out the part of what he actually does when he gets on base. We all know what happened there. We don't need to go over that. But Nimmo's an actual hitter. So if you're going to have Vogelbach just be in the lineup to get on base and walk, have him hit leadoff. I surrender. Mercy. Go ahead. Do it already. Otherwise, he shouldn't be in the lineup. You're in that seventh spot. You need to produce when the guys are on in front of you. Hit. Become a hitter. You can't pass it off to the 8-9 hitters and expect them to do the damage. Mets were down three, a runner on base. Was Lindor, should he be looking walk or should he be looking to hit a home run? Or do damage? Should we have signed for a walk? Oh, what a hell of a walk there by Frankie. Woo! Woo! Francisco, what a walk, baby. You just worked the heck out of a bat there. That's some walk right there. Get the ducks on the pond, baby. More ducks on the pond, the better. Yeah, the problem is you actually have to drive them in. You actually have to drive runners in to win baseball games. It infuriated me watching Vogelbach yet again, predictably so, walk endlessly. 0 for 2, but those two walks. He's getting on base. The numbers will show that he got on base twice. What they don't show is that he failed to drive in runs in a big spot. He failed to do damage. He can't do it. He's a limited player. Offensively and everything else, he's limited. What you don't want in that spot is to hand it over to the 8-9 hitter. So again, a pathetic display from the Mets offense. Even though they scored six runs in the ballgame, even though they came back, didn't get the job done yet again. Now, the loss isn't on them, but it's a microcosm, or at least a little part of all that's wrong with this team. Because you aren't playing as poorly as they are without a little bit of everything. They beat themselves now. They run into outs. That is something they did not do at all last year. They are losing series, something they rarely did last year. Losing to bad teams, something they rarely did last year. And never really dealt with adversity until they got punched in the mouth by Atlanta and were on the mat for good. Could never get up. We thought maybe they'd have a chance. The ref was counting to 8, counting to 9. All right, here come the Padres. No, they're done. That's right. TKO. This year, now, it's a different story. And it was that way early on. Diaz, Verlander, Scherzer getting swept in Milwaukee right out of the gate, the second series of the year, losing another series shortly thereafter. The endless series that they lose to, Washington and Detroit and Colorado, and now, losing a game to Cincinnati. It's blatantly obvious. While this team may still be a postseason team, I think everybody in baseball gets in a postseason nowadays. It's like the NBA or the NHL. Actually, more so the NBA, because the play-in game. The Mets will be in the play-in game. Don't worry about it. You have to be really bad, especially if you're a team that spends as much as the Mets or Yankees do. There should not be an excuse ever to miss the postseason. So we expect that they could right the ship, get to the postseason, and maybe things will change. But right now, this is a completely different ball club than what we saw a year ago. And right now, they're going through it. You even saw Buck Showalter finally lose his cool and get ejected. And rightfully so, because it was a bullcrap call. And you guys with the replay, you want replay in, then replay should be able to be used on everything. Not, we got that call wrong, but you can't review it. Well, then what's the point of having a replay? Is it either, are we going to use it or not? Which one is it? Pick one and let's go with that. Not, I think we can replay that. That one, we're not going to replay that. It's got to be reviewable. It was a horrible call. End of story. Good for Buck getting tossed. Finally. And then you heard him in a postgame again being direct, to say the least, holding guys accountable. That's how it should be. And the Mets right now deserve that level of criticism. The team isn't dead. It's not lost season. But, I don't know how many more signs you need to see before you realize it might not be their year. And even with that, there's still hope. But tonight was supposed to be the beginning of anew. Just like last week in Detroit with Scherzer and Verlander, tonight was another reset. At least in my mind, I was willing to forgive them for getting swept in Detroit. I was willing to overlook the embarrassment of losing 2 out of 3 to Colorado. All right, Max back, second start, now he's in routine. Let's see what he's got tonight with Verlander tomorrow against the crappy Reds. And Max got us off to the wrong foot again, where Max Scherzer, dealing with neck spasms, can't make the start. It's David Peterson, and the Mets lose yet again. It has been an extremely frustrating start to the season for a Mets team with the highest of expectation. Charlie is calling from Bethpage. Charlie?
How are you doing?
Charlie. How are you?
It'd be better if I could watch a decent baseball team. Last Friday I'm talking to you, you're telling me you're the same one, and now all of a sudden talking me off the ledge on Friday, and we got to watch this garbage again to start out this week.
A lot has happened, Charlie, since Friday, if you didn't know.
Yes, I understand that, but like tonight, you got Cincinnati. They're not a good team.
Forget about who they're playing. It doesn't. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. Because we talked about it last week. Oh, they got the crappy Tigers in town. The Mets just lost to the Nationals, and people are worried about them playing the Tigers. Like, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. That proves that it's not about the other teams. It's about them. Then they get swept by the Tigers. Then it's, but the Rockies are coming into town. Is this where the bats get hot? No, it's not, because it's not about the Rockies. It's not about the Reds. It's about the Mets. Focus on them. They aren't good enough right now.
And Vogelbach, we get some guys on the base, and he's got to go up there hitting the ball. I'm tired of the walks. This guy's got to be putting the ball. He's a big boy. He's got to be putting the ball in the alley and driving in runs. Because if he's going to walk, then he's got to be a base stealer. He's not a base stealer. And then after what I saw this weekend, him getting picked on second base, I don't even want him walking. He's a liability on the bases.
Correct.
I want him driving in the ball and getting RBIs. That's what he's there
for. Look. The only guys, and thank you for the call, Charlie, and this is not to pick on Vogelbach. I know it sounds like that, but he's symbolic of the way that the Mets front office views offense, and it drives me up a wall. At least part of it. Nobody should be going up there looking for a walk unless you're Ray Ordonez and you can't hit. And by the way, Ordóñez, looking back at it, I mean, he had a higher average than some of these stiffs in today's game. Oh, this guy's hitting 210, sure, but he walks all the time. Oh, wow, that's great. Wow. Vogelback, to me, he brings out something in me because he is the symbol of all that is wrong when you just look at the analytics and the data. Because if you look at him on the stat sheet, you'll say, oh, look at his splits, look at his on-base percentage, look at this, look at that. But if you actually watch him play, you see that, well, A, we know he'll never set foot in the field because he doesn't have a position. B, he obviously cannot run, right? Like we've seen that. He's not fleet of foot. C, he doesn't hit with power. D, he doesn't hit for a high average. So again, I ask, what exactly does he do? And then the front office people or the stat nerds will say, well, look at his, he gets on base. I mean, the guy gets on base. That's great. He gets on base. Well, what about late in a ball game when you got guys on base and you need someone to drive in the guys that are on base? Does he do that? What does he do then? Oh, he's going to walk. Well, guess what? That's not good enough. It's not good enough for me. If he's a good offensive player, he should hit, not walk. Hit. It's good when guys walk when they can't hit. Like Guillorme, you'd rather see him walk. You know why? Because he can't hit. Walks are good for guys who can't hit. Can Vogelback hit or not? And if you tell me yes, then I'm going to tell you, well, start hitting. Start swinging the bat. And if not, then I ask you, what does he do that warrants being on the team? They won't bring up Mark Vientos because he doesn't have a position. What is Daniel Vogelback's position? What does he do exactly? He walks. Like it'd be good if you can, if he had the speed of Terrence Gore or Billy Hamilton or, you know, Vince Coleman or Jose Reyes or Ricky Anderson. You know, that'd be great. Oh, a walk for Vogie. It's going to be a double. That's not the case. So what good is it? He gets on and passes the baton for Mark Canna, the eight hitter. He passes the baton to Luis Guillorme. He's going to pinch hit for Mark Canna. I mean, come on. So would you rather, if you're the Mets, and I'd love to ask this question to Buck or Billy Epler, would you rather have Vogelback actually try to swing the bat and do damage with two guys on, or have him walk and pass the baton to Mark Canna or Luis Guillorme? What would you rather do? Because I know what the stat guys would say. Oh, we love it. We love him. Walk. Walks are good. Walks are as good as a hit. Oh, really? Bob is calling from Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Sal, when I was playing Little League Baseball in the 50s, before you were born, we always said a walk's as good as a hit. You know why? You load the bases. You keep the process going. Do you understand that?
I understand that anybody who said that, whether it's the 50s or the 2023s, is an idiot.
So I'm an idiot. Sal.
Well, did you say it? Did you say it? Did you say a walk is as good as a hit?
Everybody said it.
And they're all idiots then. Every one of them. You know, those Little League coaches think they know baseball. They don't know squat about baseball. They think they do back then. I'll tell you, any of the coaches that I ran into, they know nothing. I know a billion times more about baseball than they did then and now. How about that, Bob? Let me ask you, as the adult, Bob, because as a kid, you don't know any better. As the adult, do you think a walk, let me ask you this carefully here. Listen to what I'm going to say. Do you think a walk is as good as a hit?
If you keep putting men on the bases, you keep the process going.
Bob, it's a very simple question. Is a walk as good as a hit?
It's as good as a single, Sal.
No, it's as good as a single with nobody on base.
Let me tell you something, Sal.
A walk? No. But you can't just say that. It's not as good as a single. Because a single can drive in runs if guys are on. A walk does not. A walk is as good as a single with nobody on base. It's not even as good as a single with bases loaded. Because a single could drive in two. A walk drives in one.
You have to keep the process going. You have to keep men on base.
No, Bob, you're missing the point.
Then the kids come up.
Yeah. Okay, so would you rather see Aaron Judge walk, or would you rather see Aaron Judge do damage?
I'd rather see Aaron Judge do damage. You're right about that.
Well, why? A walk is as good as a hit. Why, Bob? And thank you for the call. Why? Why would anybody intentionally walk Barry Bonds with the bases loaded? Why would anybody intentionally walk Aaron Judge? A walk's as good as a hit, right? A walk's as good as a hit. Do you just give out free hits or do you give out free walks? Is there an intentional hit that I've maybe missed in my 40 years of watching baseball? Is there something that, have I missed that? And hey, we're going to give him an intentional hit right here. We're an intentional double. Let's just put him on second. I don't want to pitch to him. Put him on second. Or do they give out intentional walks? Why? Why do they give out intentional walks as opposed to a hit? Or why do they give out intentional walks as opposed to facing the guy? Do you know why? Going to let you in on a little secret. They're afraid that the hitter that they're intentionally walking is going to do damage. You understand? So a walk cannot be as good as a hit. It is. This is not just an opinion. This is fact. This is fact. Now, again, let's not get caught up here. This is just part of the problem. It's an entire mess. And really, the entire mess starts with Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer is the reason the Mets lost the game tonight. Max Scherzer is the biggest reason why the Mets failed in the postseason a year ago and in Atlanta, because I had even higher expectations for him than I did DeGrom. And by the way, DeGrom wasn't that bad against Atlanta and San Diego. They won the game DeGrom pitched against the Padres, and he wasn't as bad as Max was in Atlanta. Scherzer is the number one culprit because you trust him more than you do Chris Bassitt. Bassitt got tattooed, sure, in both his starts, but you have higher expectations for Scherzer. He's the number one culprit to why the Mets didn't win the division last year. He's the number one culprit to why they got sent home against the Padres, and he is the number one culprit to why the Mets have struggled this year. Look no further than Max Scherzer. It's not just him. He's the number one culprit. 877-337-6666. More your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the fan.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Get into hockey, basketball, and more of your favorite sports with same-game parlays, live betting, and more. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Fan. Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Nowadays, everybody want to walk. I definitely could do a redo of this one, Rosie. Just give me, like, I don't know, an hour or so to write it. I need my time in the lab with a pen and the pad. But yeah, nowadays, everybody want to walk. Getting on
Are you a big freestyler, Sal?
I mean, I could write better than freestyle. You know what I mean?
Right. You can do the, you write for somebody. That's fair.
Well, no. Hold on. I can, you know the difference between freestyle and writing, right? Like, yeah. Freestyling is just off the top of my head.
Yeah,
like
off the dome.
Play the beat. Yeah, right. I mean, I could do that, but it's not great. However, I could write much better and perform it. I mean, I'm not a good rapper, but I'm not going to write for somebody else. I write my own stuff, and then I'll perform it. I had stuff written because, you know, Keith did that, he did like a freestyle, which I don't even know if the freestyle was off the top of his head or if he had something written down. Anyway, he did that on the air maybe a few months back.
And yes, I was here for that, yes.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I didn't know we could do that. I mean, if I did that, you know, back under prior management, I might have been kicked off the air.
About 10 minutes later.
Yeah, right. So I was like, oh, I didn't know we could do that. And then, you know, Carton and Roberts, like, he joked around and said something about me because Carton tried to do one. He then did a rap, which was just, it was like the worst thing that I've ever heard. It was anybody who's ever tried to freestyle that doesn't know what they're doing. It was that on the radio. So it was embarrassing. And then I actually wrote something that I was going to record and put out there. But I was like, eh, you know what? Let's not ruffle any feathers right now. But I do have that. I do have that written. FYI, if I ever need a diss track, it could get released. Anyway, I do like writing, and with that song in particular, you could make it up about these walks because everybody does love a walk nowadays. Even though a walk is not as good as a hit. Anyway, back to the phones we go, shall we? 877-337-6666. You never heard my Harvey Day rap, Rosie?
I mean, I might have. I don't want to say yes or no, but I might have.
Maybe you wouldn't remember it then if you heard it. I created it when I was down in the minors at WOR. It was, you know, 2015. Harvey days were a big deal, so I did.
When it comes to that, my mind is so like cluttered with the Harvey from the Honeymooners for Steve.
I don't remember that one.
Anytime it started, Harvey.
Oh yeah, no, I did like an actual rap.
Yeah,
yeah. We've played it on the air. I mean, you know, now he's retired, and I don't think we need to get into that anymore. Plus, I don't want to embarrass myself further. But yeah, I mean, I could write. I got skills. Young Josh is calling from Passaic. What's up, Young Josh?
Good. How you doing, Sal?
Josh.
Sal.
Josh, you a Devils fan?
Yep. Unfortunately.
Sorry about that. Okay, what'd you want to say about the Mets?
So first, though, with the walk about the single. So obviously, it's not even close. I mean, I agree with you. We played a pickup game today when the guys that couldn't hit came up. But, like, a walk's the same thing as a single. You could say that when space is loaded, a walk could be as good as a single in Daniel Vogelbach's on second base is doing the same thing.
Correct. When you have a guy that can't score from second, it's the same thing. Basically, a walk is as good as a hit. A walk is as good as a single with nobody on base. That's it. That is it. And even then, I got news for you. Even then, young Josh, it might not be because what happens if the right fielder misplays that single? What happens if he boots it and the single all of a sudden turns into an extra base? That doesn't happen on a walk.
Right, and also
I'm proving myself wrong. The defense is wrong. You know what? Oh, I stand corrected. A walk is never as good as a hit. Ever.
Okay. And listen, with the Mets, I remember last year, when they scored four, it was like I said, that whenever they scored four in the game, they only lost like a few times at like a streak going where they were like 32 and like one was scoring four runs. So then you're saying just the problem last year was the hitting, the pitching was great, and this year it's kind of flipped, even though the hitting has been that good. Mostly the pitching has been the problem.
The pitching has been the problem. There's no, and thank you for the call, Young Josh. We appreciate you checking in. Offensively last year, while they weren't that good, statistically, they were one of the top offensive teams in baseball. What they did was put the ball in play. They got on base. You know, they were efficient in doing the little things that could win games. They took advantage of other teams' mistakes, as we said before. But they were never that powerhouse team, the way that we've seen Yankee lineups be, or the way that the Braves lineup is. With that power, they were lacking one big bat all of last year, and they never got it. And again, coming into the year this year. Now, the other problem on top of that this year is that Lindor is not hitting. Marte is not hitting. That's two of their best offensive players from a year ago. Not to mention the bottom of the lineup still not doing anything. So they are worse offensively than they were a year ago. But the big key is the pitching. They had solid starting pitching last year, even with Scherzer going down for a month or whatever it was when he went down in May. Even with DeGrom being out for the first half of the season, they had the other guys step up and do their job. Carlos Carrasco went on a tear where he was good for a really good stretch. Tyler McGill filled in well before he got hurt. They had guys. Taijuan Walker was good in the first half of the year. Bassett was consistent throughout. You know, the only time he failed was against Atlanta and against San Diego, unfortunately, the biggest spots. But they had better starting pitching a year ago. And every day, you can rely on a solid, for the most part, you can rely on a solid start. And that kind of settled things down, and the team was able to go out there and do enough offensively to win ball games. Well, this year, the starting rotation has been an utter disaster. Every which way possible. Guys getting hurt, guys underperforming, all the above. It's been a disaster. And that is the main reason why the Mets are where they are right now. They need, see, and I thought, which is why I ignored the loss to the Nationals and even getting swept by the Tigers, I thought Scherzer, Verlander would stabilize this rotation once and for all when they came back. And you threw out that first Scherzer start because it was the first start back off of the suspension. So it's like, all right, I'll give him one more mulligan. That's it now. Verlander looked really good. I trust that he's going to go out there and be dominant. And if he's not, forget it. But anyway, Verlander looked really good in his first start. Senga had a nice bounce back performance on his extra rest. Maybe that Scherzer-Verlander combo can stabilize for once and for all this rotation. Even Lucchese, like you like Lucchese as a fourth or fifth starter, you know what you're going to get. Sometimes not going to be that good. Sometimes not going to go deep into these games. But I like him better than what they were getting from Carlos Carrasco earlier in the year. Scherzer-Verlander could have stabilized that rotation. Well, Scherzer has been back for two starts. One of them he got rocked in. The other one he's gotten pushed back. That's not stabilizing anything. That's making it more chaotic. Nick is calling from Philadelphia. What's up, Nick?
How you doing, Sal?
Good, Nick. How are you?
Good, good. Just a quick couple things. Just a quick comment on the whole walk thing. I mean, at this point, with Vogelback on the bases, I mean, he's worthless out there, and you saw that, you know, the other day, obviously, when he got out at second. At this point, you might as well have a guy like Tim LeCastro out, because at least you know he's going to at least get to second base every time by swiping the bag. He can probably get to third every time, and I don't think LeCastro should be on the team. But at least he brings a positive benefit on the base paths. You know, if he gets on base, he'll be able to advance. You can't get that out of Vogelback.
Right. Right, but the problem is, see, you're on to something, Nick. If there's a way Steve Cohen could buy a lab to take the skill sets of multiple players and combine them into one, then the Mets would be in business. Because you could take LeCastro's speed and defense and combine that with Vogelback's ability to get on base, and now maybe you have a player. You know, you want to Vocastro, whatever. Like, you mold those two. See, the problem with LeCastro is he can't get on the on base the way that Vogelback can. And we went over the problems with Vogelback in comparison to LeCastro. So they need to combine the two. Or just go get a player that does both, as opposed to having two guys that do one thing each well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I'm looking at the roster now. I'm thinking that when they call Carrasco up, I'm thinking they're going to send Tommy Hunter down. That would be, I think, the best candidate to send down right now. He's been terrible.
Oh, he's another guy that shouldn't be in the major leagues. And I know the Buck has a soft spot for him. And look, he's a really nice guy, funny guy. Tommy Hunter should not be in the major leagues, let alone on a team with the highest payroll in baseball. Come on.
Yeah. But I'm thinking who else would you, for a guy like Mark Vientos, maybe you send down like Jeff Brigham. He's still on the roster. Dominic Leone.
Well, what about Guillorme, who's got options and really is not as useful? And thank you for the call, Nick. When you have a player like Eduardo Escobar on the roster. Look, the way it is being told to me is that, and I'm not talking to anybody with the Mets or anything like that. I'm just hearing stuff. The way that I understand it is that the Mets feel like they don't have a spot for Vientos. Matter of fact, on Baseball Night in New York earlier today on SNY at 6 p.m., actually it was at 5:30 p.m., and it'll be on 5:30 p.m. tomorrow with the earlier Mets start. We get moved up a half hour. Check it out, Baseball Night in New York. We had Andy Martino on, and Andy was saying that, I don't know if he said he thinks the Mets think it's better, or he, in his opinion, but usually he doesn't give us his opinion. He goes based off of the info that he has. He said that Gary Sanchez would be a better option for a right-handed DH spot off the bench, or the right-handed DH in general for the Mets, than Mark Vientos, which I was honestly floored to hear that live on the air, and we were going back and forth about it a little bit. Now, I trust Andy's info more than anybody. I don't know if it's the info, the opinion. I can't understand why that would be the case. And I'm not saying Vientos is going to be some superstar player. I'm not saying he's the answer. Anything but. However, you can't tell me that Gary Sanchez is a better option than Mark Vientos. You want to say that you have better options? I could argue Mark Canna and Tommy Pham are better options than Vientos. I cannot argue for Gary Sanchez. Tom is calling from Rockaway, I should say. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Sal. Good evening. Actually, you just stole my thunder about this whole Gary Sanchez thing. I still, you know, there's a few things that I wanted to talk to you about, but the Gary Sanchez thing, I don't get. I saw it tonight. What are we thinking? How many catches do we need in this organization right now?
Well, I didn't think it made any sense. So here's what I'll tell you. Andy Martino, mm-hmm. who, again, I did the show with on SNY. He's the info guy. Sure. I'm just a loudmouth fanboy, whatever you want to say. And I happen to be the host of the show. Anyway, so we were talking about it, and I believe this is on the air. And we were saying, like, I didn't understand why Sanchez is here. I assumed it was to eventually replace Tomas Nito, who shouldn't be in the major leagues. And Andy fought back on that and said that Tomas Nito is actually a very good defensive catcher, and that Sanchez's role would not be to be a backup catcher. It would be to more be a right-handed DH.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So it's not about Sanchez being a catcher, just to clarify.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, I mean, we have an organization that's willing to spend money, right? So that's not an issue. So Gary Sanchez, whatever he's going to sign for the league minimum, I just think that money could have been well spent on maybe a pitcher. Maybe there's a pitcher out there somewhere that we could have gotten.
Well, there's no risk. This is not a knock on the Mets for bringing in Sanchez mm-hmm. to the organization. There's no risk. It's not any money whatsoever. It's not preventing them from going out there and getting a pitcher. They felt like this mm-hmm. might be a move that might be able to help the ball club, so they go do it. I just don't understand how you can say that you'd rather have Sanchez than Mark Vientos. That doesn't add up to me.
I agree. Either him or Maurizio, one of the two. And then earlier tonight, I heard you say, you know, tonight was going to be one of those nights where Scherzer was going to tell us, you know, kind of where we stand with him and where he stands with his help. And I really think tonight did tell us that. Tonight right. did tell us that, you know, I don't think he's going to pitch in 2 days. I think he's going to go on an IL stint for like 10 more days. And I think this is our Scherzer. I think this is what we're going to have with Scherzer. And
agreed. You know, I don't know if I'm going to agree that he's not going to make. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm, I'm here.
Go ahead, Tom.
No, please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, and thank you for the call. I thought you were talking over me there for a second. I'm not going to agree that Scherzer is not going to pitch in 2 days. I don't know when he's going to pitch next. I'll take everybody at their word that he's going to be okay to pitch in 2 days, but I do think that this was telling. Maybe not in the way that I was hoping for it to be when we talked about this being a season-defining start for Max Scherzer tonight. I think it was more, I mean, look, obviously he didn't start, but season-defining still fits. Where I truly believe this is now what Max Scherzer is. Where you don't know what you're going to get. There is no stability. There is no consistency. You can't count on him. Can't rely on him. He's just been out for 2 weeks. Well, what's with the neck spasms? Here's what I think, and this is just total speculation. I think Max Scherzer, now again, I love Max Scherzer. I think Max Scherzer is scared. And it sounds crazy to say that because of all the people in Major League Baseball, you would think that the one guy who's not scared is Max Scherzer. Let me just tell you why I think he's scared. Max Scherzer, many times after he has failed, whether it's this year, last year, whatever, he, especially at the end of last season, now he didn't want to give the excuse of the injuries, but there were no answers. And then let's just say that he covered up the injury, didn't want to make that an excuse because he's not a guy who's going to make an excuse. Let's fast forward now to this year. He did not have answers this year for getting tattooed. Then he got suspended. Then he comes back and talks about the velocity being down a tick. He doesn't understand what's happening. This is, again, me speculating here with some facts from what I'm hearing from him. The results, number one, him talking about the velocity being down a tick, doesn't understand why. Him coming off the suspension, not being able to use maybe whatever it was he was using before, whether it was illegal or not, getting rocked, and now maybe a little unsure of what result may go out there. I mean, he's no fool. He knows if he went out there tonight and got lit up, it could have been a problem. It would have been a problem. Now, I'm not saying he's running from the Reds or he's not going to try to take the mound here, but I believe deep down that a part of Max Scherzer is scared at the realization that he's not the same anymore and he might not know how to adjust or handle that. And maybe he's learning as we go. Now, this is total speculation. He could call me a total idiot and all that stuff, and I don't understand it. I love Scherzer, but you do the math. He's a once dominant pitcher who's obviously getting older. There always seems to be some sort of issue physically. The suspension, using the extra, you know, sweat, rosin, and alcohol. Getting rocked. Neck spasms. All of the above makes me think he's a little bit nervous about the realization that he just might not have it anymore. And I think if you're not questioning that, whether you're in the Mets organization, whether you're a fan, media, whatever, you're not paying close enough attention. It's been long enough now where it's not one start, it's not two starts, not just last year we got hurt. It's now been last year plus a month and a half where, or whatever, wherever we are, May 10th here or May 9th. All that time, and Max Scherzer has not been himself, not once.
Go for it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the Fan. Continuing to talk Mets. We'll talk a little Yankees on the other side as well. And welcome your calls on whatever it is you want to discuss on this Tuesday night, soon to be Wednesday morning, ahead of Game 5 tomorrow night at the world's most famous. But the Yankees, I think, you know what? I think an apology is in order. After watching this weekend against the Rays and watching them the last couple of games against the A's, I think an apology is in order. We'll get to that on the other side as well. Popcorn Bob, or Popcorn Rob, excuse me, is calling from Babylon. What's up, Popcorn?
What is the deal? Hey, Sal, man, first and foremost, man. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm gonna say,
you're welcome, Popcorn. How are you?
Now let me say something, Sal. Sal, if the bases is loaded, right, and you know the batter gets a hit, however, he forces the out at home plate and on third base, and he makes it. Now it's definitely a hit, but he doesn't score those runs. So it depends on the situation.
No, I'm not talking about when I say hit, I mean actual hit. I didn't say that an out is as good as a walk. I said a hit. So in your scenario,
a hit, Sal, but a hit is at it's depending on a situation.
No. A hit, no, popcorn. You're talking about making contact. You're talking about contact. I'm talking about a hit.
No, I'm talking about the batter actually makes it. He gets a hit. Let's say they do a he's a dribbler, you know, to back to home plate. So you know the pitcher's the first thing he's going to do is the base is loaded.
No. Again, I think we're not understanding what a hit is, Popcorn Bob.
That would be a hit, Sal.
No. A hit is a hit, like a base hit, not hitting the ball. Not hitting the ball.
No, Sal, I'm talking about.
You're saying hit. No, you're saying hitting the ball. I'm talking about a hit.
What I'm saying is
define a hit. I want to be clear that you know what a hit is because I don't think you.
Now what I'm saying is a hit, meaning that if that ball, if he contacts and that ball gets hit and it dribbles. If it dribbles to the pitcher, Sal, and the pitcher decides to go to home plate, and then the home plate goes to third base, and those are the two outs, but they couldn't make that first base.
Right now, do you know what that's called? Do you know what that's called?
I know you're trying to say it's a force, but not really, though, Sal.
No. It's an out. That's called an out, not a hit. And thank you for the call, Popcorn Bob. That's called. Let's simplify today's program. Okay, kids. Today we're going to teach you what a hit is and what contact is, the difference between contact and a hit. And I love Popcorn, but he's confused, clearly, on this particular subject. So a walk is when a player draws four pitches that are out of the strike zone, draws a walk, gets first base automatically. Four pitches, four balls, boom, you take first base. A hit is a base hit, like not fielded by a fielder. Single, double, triple, home run. I'm not sure if I've ever had to explain a hit before. When the ball leaves the bat and gets to an area on the field, doesn't have to be out of the infield, obviously, that the runner can make it safely aboard base. That is a base hit. What you're talking about is hitting the ball, which is different, making contact. If you hit the ball back to the pitcher and the pitcher throws the ball home, assuming there's bases loaded, that's what we call an out. If the pitcher throws the ball home and then the catcher throws the ball to third, and the runner is out there as well, that's what we call a double play. The batter hit the ball. He made contact. He hit the ball back to the pitcher, but grounded into a double play. That is different than an actual hit. So, yes, in your scenario, Popcorn Bob, a walk would be better than grounding out or grounding into a double play. A walk, however, is not as good as a hit, which is when the runner gets on base because he hit the ball where the fielders aren't or weren't able to catch it and get him out. Hopefully that clears things up for you a little bit. We'll come back and get more of your calls in on the other side. Take a quick break, get you updated as well. 877-337-6666. And an apology is in order for one Mr. Brian Cashman. We'll do that on the other side as well. Sal Licata on the Fan.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.